This morning's public reading from the Word of God comes from Luke chapter 17. So take your Bibles, if you have them, and turn with me to verse 20. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. I'm going to be reading verses 20 to 37. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 37. God's Word. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto his disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lightning out of the one part of under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroy them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, O Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Amen. Please be seated. We have a very interesting passage here, because if you are quite familiar with your Bible, you should be asking the following question. This is Luke chapter 17, is it not, that I just read in your hearing? And yes, it is. But the words that you read just now, Pastor, sound awfully familiar to the Olivet Discourse of Matthew chapters 24:25, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Well, my answer to your question is this. It would seem that Jesus on this occasion preached or mentioned, at least in passing, to the Pharisees in verse 20, his judgment coming that would be finally realized and witnessed by the people in AD 70, when the Roman officials under General Titus storm and finally, after a 3.5-year siege around Jerusalem from 66 to 70 AD, breach the walls, come in, topple the temple as Jesus is going to predict in the Olivet Discourse, and John further expands on that destruction in the book of the Revelation. Jesus apparently, if you want to say, let the cat out of the bag quite early. He mentions what I believe to be a portion of what we know to be as the Olivet Discourse. Now, what caused him to give this discourse? Well, verse 20 is the key. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, quote, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Unquote. And I find it amazing today those in the premillennial dispensational camp, all they're doing right now is observing the signs and the times, are they not? Telling us how close we are to the rapture, when according to their eschatological scheme, the rapture is a signless event, meaning no signs come before the rapture. The rapture is supposed to be something imminent, something that can happen at no notice, at any time, without any precursor or any pre-warning. Well, at least Jesus says the same thing here. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You can't see it coming. It's not something that's physical and tangible. It's not something that is earthly. It's not geopolitical. But what does he say about this kingdom? In verse 21, he says the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is more spiritual in its nature, in its composition, than it is earthly, carnal, or geopolitical in its nature and in its composition. They were demanding when the kingdom of God would come. Now, we have to realize that in the first century, there was a heightened anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. We can all agree on that because that's what the records tell them. The people at this time were in great anticipation of the coming of Messiah. That's witnessed when John the Baptist in his ministry, what was the inquiry posed to John by those who came to his baptism, especially the religious leaders? Are you the one that we've been anticipating? Are you the one? And John has to tell them, I am not the one, but I was sent to make an announcement to you people of the Messiah who is now apparently in your very midst and you don't even know him. So there was this heightened anticipation. But what was the Messiah that the people of God were looking for at this time? Not a suffering servant, not one that was going to be condemned as a criminal and to die the death of a criminal in the open, in public, in total humiliation and in degradation and in shame. They wanted a soldier on a white stallion, wielding a shining sword to vanquish Roman dominance from their land. That's the kingdom that the Pharisees were talking about. Jesus, on the other hand, talks about a whole different kingdom, a kingdom that resides in the hearts and minds of his elect. And his disciples, verse 22, he said to his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. Here Jesus is implying, as you find it elsewhere, that up until the destruction of Jerusalem, there was going to be a parade of false messiahs, people claiming to be the one sent by heaven. And they're all going to be found to be bogus and to be false. So he warns disciples, his disciples, just like he's going to do in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. The first thing that he warns them is not to be deceived or deluded by a false Messiah claiming to be Christ. But he interjects his passion. Verse 25, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Notice every time the word this generation is used in the New Testament from the lips of Christ, he is not talking about a 21st or a 22nd or a 23rd generation of Jews living and eking out in existence in Israel today. He was talking directly to the audience that he was addressing and the same audience that was listening to him. Beloved, let words have their true meaning in English. God does not talk in riddles, and he doesn't talk with the need of a computer code to decipher what he's saying. Jesus says he was going to suffer and be rejected, ultimately crucified, not by some future generation yet to be born, but by the generation to whom he was talking to and looking at. Now we come to another misconception from verses 26 all the way down to verse 29. We hear people today, oh, it is like in the days of Noah. Oh, it's like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. God has to judge. It's just like the same days. Well, what exactly was Jesus saying? Verse 26, and it shall come to pass as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. When Jesus did come in judgment upon Jerusalem in AD 70, what was going on? What was the attitude of the people? They did eat, drank, married. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Beloved, what sin is there in drinking? What sin is there in eating? I didn't know that marriage is a sin because it says they were married wives and they were given in marriage. You know what verses 27 is saying? Not that these are the signs of a corrupt and evil generation, because, beloved, starting with Adam until the present, until Christ comes at the end, we're all going to be eating food. We're all going to be drinking some form of drink. We're all going to be giving our sons and daughters away in marriage and their children likewise. What was Jesus hinting at when the days of Noah, when the flood came? The people were so preoccupied with everyday living, they in turn were caught off guard by the sudden destruction that came upon them when God closed the door to the ark and brought the judgment upon the world. That is what Jesus is saying. And then he reiterates, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. What is wrong with those things? Is it wrong to plant a garden? Is it wrong to plant wheat? Is it wrong to build a bridge? Is it wrong to build a house? Is it wrong to go to Walmart and buy your food? Is it wrong to have sales on eBay? Is it wrong to drink and eat food? That's not the point. People have missed this and have twisted the Bible to their own destruction. What is Jesus saying? He is saying in verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It destroyed them all likewise, as the world of Noah was also destroyed likewise. Everybody was going around their own everyday business, either minding their business or putting their nose in some other person's business. They were eating normal food, eating at regular times, going to work at a regular time, coming home, reading the paper, playing tiddlywinks with their kids. They were doing things, beloved, in such a way they didn't pay any heed or mind to the warnings that Noah and what Lot was trying to do. Remember when Lot told his family, we have to get out of Dodge because God's going to rain fire? They laughed him off the stage. And then in verses 30 all the way down to 36, everyone tries to say, well, this is the rapture. Two in a field, one taken, one left. Two grinding, one's taken, one's left. No. When the Roman soldiers came in and destroyed Jerusalem, what happened? Many died, well over a million, according to Josephus, who was an eyewitness of that terrible day, of that terrible time. But the others were bussed off and sold into slavery. This has nothing to do with the word rapture. Sorry, beloved, you've been fed lies from your eschatological experts. Just like we were fed lies during the COVID pandemic by the experts, many in the church today are being lied to by their pastors and their Bible college, their seminaries, the Left Behind series that you see in movies, and Hal Lindsey's late great Planet Earth, which is a total bust in his predictions. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word.